By thee, O God, invited, we look unto the sun. By God's grace, we hope to do that this morning for a little time together. In whom thy soul delighted, who all thy will hath done. And by the one chief treasure thy bosom freely gave, thine own pure love, we measure thy willing mind to save. I want to read also hymn number 150. Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son. God manifest, God seen, and God heard, the heaven's beloved one. In thee most perfectly expressed, the Father's self doth shine. Fullness of Godhead, too, the blessed eternally divine, image of the infinite unseen, whose being none can know, brightness of light no eye hath seen, God's love revealed below, the higher mysteries of thy fame the creature's grasp transcend, the Father only thy blessed name of Son can comprehend. Yet, loving thee, on whom his love ineffable doth rest, the worshippers, O Lord, above, as one with thee are blessed. Of the vast universe of bliss, the center, thou and Son, the eternal theme of praise is this to heaven's beloved one. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou that every knee to thee should bow. Let's pray. Not too long ago, I was in the barber shop. And my barber has a television just opposite of his chair. So I had opportunity to see something that I would never have seen otherwise. The name of the program was The 11 Powers. It was an exposition of the island of Bali, I believe, and I'm not even sure where that is. I believe it's in the Far East somewhere. But it was a demonstration, an exposition of the worship of these idolatrous people in worshiping 11 different gods, 11 different powers. And I thought as I sat there, how sad those people do not know God. They worshiped, they know not what. And they didn't know. It was obvious that they didn't know. They didn't know how to appease these 11 gods. They didn't know anything about those gods loving them. And I thought as I sat in that chair, how wonderful to be able to say with assurance in my heart that I know God because He's been revealed to me. He has sought to reveal himself to every man on the earth. And he's done so by one instrument. One instrument in a capsule of time 2,000 years ago in his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about him this morning. I've been thinking of him over the past few weeks and perhaps even months as the Son. Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God in time past spoke unto the children of Israel by prophets. For 4,000 years, man was on the face of this earth with no direct revelation as to who God really was. He spoke by interpreters, that is, prophets. There was Moses, there was Samuel, there was Isaiah, there was Jeremiah. There were many men that had communication from God and gave it to men. But God was not satisfied. Men were not satisfied. In fact, it says in John chapter 1 that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. And that was what we have here. God in time past spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. That is, he sent men into this world who had a message from God and gave it to men. Because God wanted to communicate his mind to men. And more than that, he saw man in his need. And those prophets could never meet that need. They could tell them what was wrong. They could tell them about God, but they could not ever show him to them. And so it says in John 1, no man has seen God at any time. But earlier in that chapter it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14 it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God is in glory. God is in heaven. He has created this earth. And as we read here in Hebrews, he did it through the power of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also he made the worlds. But it is an unfathomable wonder to me, dear beloved young people, that that same God found a perplexing question in that when he had created man, man separated himself from God by sin. And God has earnestly sought to restore man to where he can have communion with him. I want to ask you each this morning, have you been brought into communion with God? Do you know who God is? Do you know his Son, Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal? Do you? Or are you like those islanders on the island of Bali, worshiping you know not what? You're worshiping something. As we had last night, you have a master. Who is it? Who is your master? Who is your Lord? You know, as I was thinking about what Dan was speaking about last night, a scenario came before me, and I made this up in my head, and it touched my heart. He spoke of being a slave. You all know what a slave is. A slave is someone who has no rights. A slave is someone who has a boss that tells them what to do, and they do it. And if they don't, severe punishment is meted out. I thought of myself. I was a slave. I was a slave who worked for a great plantation owner. A plantation owner greater than any other plantation owner. And on that plantation were many men, men who worked for him, and many slaves. Among those who worked for him was one manager. And perhaps you can imagine yourself in my position. There was a manager there that was rather subversive. He sought to trap every slave he could. He gave them work to do that was impossible to accomplish, just for the privilege of punishing them. And when he could, he set before us, his slaves, temptations that we might transgress the will and the rules of the plantation so that we might get further punishment. And one day, this man lured me into a trap that caused me to transgress one of the cardinal rules of the plantation, the punishment of which was to be flogged to death. Now you can see, as a slave, my lot was not very good. My lot was not very comfortable. When this happened, they caught me. They took me with chains, threw me into the dungeon until my time to be flogged should come about. I wondered, is there any way out? Is there any recourse that I have? No, I'm a slave. I'm nobody. I have nothing to claim. I have no rights. And besides that, I verily am guilty of breaking the law. Finally, the day came. That morning dawned. My palms were sweaty and cold. I knew the end was in view, but I knew, worse than that, the end was terrible. A man came to my cell, knocked on the door. It was the son of this wealthy plantation owner. He said, "I want to talk to you for a minute." I thought, what does he want to talk to me for? I've transgressed his father's commands. I'm guilty. I deserve to die. I'm going to be put to death because that's what I own. He said, "I want to talk to you about your punishment. You are guilty, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I am. I'm guilty." He said, "What are they going to do to you?" I said, "They're going to flog me till I die. They're going to whip me. They're going to tie me to that post with chains and whip me until my life is gone." He said, "You won't be able to stand that, will you?" I said, "No. No. But that's what I deserve, and I guess that's what it's going to be." He said, "Well, my father said he wanted to tell you that he really doesn't want for you to die. He loves you. In fact, my father is so righteous that he said we need to find someone else to take his place. He must die. He's earned it. Death belongs to him. And my father knows that between him and me, that we could take care of your death. In fact, I've come to take your place." Now, as a slave, you can imagine, I didn't understand. I thought that all slave masters, all plantation owners were cruel. But this man cares. Why? Why does he want his son to take my place? I didn't understand, so I asked him, "Why?" He said, "There's only one reason. It's because he loves you. He wants you to come to his house. He wants you to stay with me in my room." I said, "But what if you die in my place? You won't be there." He said, "You can't stand that punishment. You would die and be gone. But I'm coming now to take your place. And I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to let them flog me till I die. But there's a secret that I have to tell you. That is, my Father and I are the authors of life. And I will be raised the third day. Your death I will take care of. I will satisfy the claims of the plantation against you. And I will come back because I want to share my Father's house with you. My gloom was dispelled. I got up. He called the jailer. He said, "Jailer, take those chains off of him and put them on me." I watched with tears in my eyes as I saw them fasten the rivets around his hands. And I thought, if that man is so powerful, those chains have no effect on him. And it's true. It wasn't the chains. It wasn't the cords that bound him in the garden. It wasn't the nails that nailed him to the cross. It was his love that held him there. And I watched as they fastened those rivets. And the jailer took me by the arm and said, "Come out. We'll take care of him later." I didn't want to leave, but I went. And as I went, he said, "Go to my Father." I went. And he said, "We must go this afternoon to the whipping post." And I said, "I'll go." And we just sang that song this morning. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Lord of glory died." And there, that afternoon, I watched as they fastened that son to that post. They took the whip and flogged him till he died. And I turned to his Father and I said, "You really did love me, didn't you?" You know, fellow believer, that is exactly what God is all about. I was listening to a radio station, a Christian radio broadcast, maybe a month ago, several weeks ago, and a man, Tony Evans, was preaching. He said, "You need to know who you are, where you're going, and what you're all about." And that's true. And I hope every one of you, dear young people, know who you are, where you are going, and what you are all about. Do you? And if you don't know, I hope you find out this week. And I hope that you'll find out that you are a child of God, redeemed by the work of His beloved Son. Where you are going is the eternal glory to dwell with Jesus and His Father in His Father's house. And what you are all about is enjoying His company and doing His business. Now I know, I take an appraisal of my life day by day and ask myself and write it down, who am I? Where did I go today? And what was I all about? The very, very little of it would be for God. But I want you to think in terms of the price that has been paid. I want you to think in terms of the one whom it said that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. I want you to consider who God is, where he is going, and what he is all about. I want you to consider who Jesus Christ is, where he was going, and we had that before us already this yesterday. He was going from what we have here in Hebrews chapter 1, down to Calvary's depth of woe. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He knew where he was going. We read that this morning in the counselor's prayer meeting in John chapter 13. That Jesus, knowing... Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. Jesus knew who he was, where he was going, and he knew what he was all about. He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." He was the one in the garden who said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That was the discussion that took place before the Lord Jesus Christ entered my cell. There was a scene in glory where the question was asked, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" The answer came back from the Son, "Here am I, send me." You know, the Son is a wonderful thing. The Son is simply this, the expression of God, so that you and I could know Him, could know God. It's a wonderful thing as we realize that God has planned from a past eternity to reveal Himself in His Son. He has done so. He has revealed, not that He is a God that requires sacrifice, but a God who is righteous and a God who is full of love. He is a God of light, and He has manifested it all there on that wondrous cross that is ours to survey. And we will this morning as we break bread together and remember the Lord Jesus Christ and His death for us. Realize that He became a man, the Son, that He might communicate the heart of God to you, that He might reveal all God's thoughts towards you, that He might capture your heart and make you His own forever. Not to make you a slave, but to bring you into relationship with Himself. I'm reminded of another little slave story. There was a man that was on the auction block. Back in those days when they bought slaves like they buy horses today. They looked at them, they checked out their muscles, looked for health or ill health. They looked purely at a slave for the work he could do. And this man was the image of work. Very strong man. Bitter, though, because he hated being a slave. Even as I hated being a slave. And the auction went on and on. And finally a gentleman stepped forth and raised the price significantly. Nobody met that price. The slave looked down at this gentleman and sneered at him. The auctioneer said, "Sold." They led him off the platform up to this gentleman who walked away with him. And the slave started to curse him. He said, "You just want me for all the work I can do for you. You want me just to be another slave in your house." And he went on and he cursed him. Finally, the gentleman was able to get a word in edgewise. And he said, "No, you've got it all wrong. I bought you to set you free." The slave looked at him. He said, "That's not possible. You didn't do that." He said, "Yes, I did. I bought you so that you might be free. I'm going to let you go." He said, "You mean that really? Do you really mean to let me go to be a free man?" I said, yes, I bought you to set you free. He said, oh, sir, I'll serve you forever. And he did. He went home, and he was that man's servant the rest of his life. Jesus has not bought you to bring you into bondage. Jesus doesn't want you to tie you up. He wants to set you free. And that's why it says in the scripture, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, it's the Son again. There is so much involved in that one person of the Godhead, the Son, the Son. It was the Son by whom God has expressed Himself to men. It was the Son who set men free. It was the Son that was sent when all the prophets were stoned. And God said, surely they will reverence my Son. No, they said, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. And so it was the Son who must die. The Son who must take the place of the slave, that the slave might have the place of the Son. Isn't that a thing incredible to you? Sometimes when you think of God's love, it makes your heart burst. Why is He so interested in us? We don't know. But He sent His Son into this world so that you might know that He cares infinitely about you, not just your eternal destiny, but He cares infinitely about you today. And it is His Son that He wishes you to be a part of His bride in a coming day. I hope that if there's one young person in this room this morning who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you would not turn your back upon Him another day. He paid too great a price. He wants you, even now. He wants you to be your friend, to care for you, and to secure your eternal destiny with Himself in His Father's house. Perhaps I could read one more hymn before we close. It's 127. Sometimes we perhaps think of this hymn as a hymn about the Father's house. But in every one of the verses, the word S-O-N is found. You know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. We cannot see the Holy Spirit. He is a spirit. We cannot see God the Father because He's in glory and we're here on earth. But John could say, we have seen Him and our hands have handled Him of the Word of Life. Who had he seen? He saw the Son. The expression of God. All that God is expressed in that Son. Listen together, read with me if you have a little flock. How blessed a home, the Father's house. There, love divine doth rest. What else could satisfy the hearts of those in Jesus blessed? His home made ours. His Father's love, our heart's full portion given. The portion of the firstborn Son, the full delight of heaven. Now, this is a verse that just stops me dead. Oh, what a home, the Son who knows He only all His love and brings us as His well-beloved to that bright rest above, dwells in His bosom, that is God's bosom, knoweth all that in that bosom lies and came to earth to make it known. Why? That we might share His joys. Oh, what a home, their fullest love flows through its courts of light. The Son's divine affections flow throughout its depth and height. And full response the Father gives to fill with joy the heart. No cloud is there to dim the scene, or shadow to impart. Oh, what a home! But such His love, that He must bring us there, to fill that home, to be with Him, and all His glory share. The Father's house, the Father's heart, all that the Son has given, made ours the objects of His love. And He, our joy in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? To know the Son, to be set free, to be brought into all the Father's love, to know that as many as received Him, to them gives He the power, the right or authority to be called the sons of God. The Son has come. The slaves have been set free. They've been brought into the Father's house to enjoy that place of sonship with Him. Let us pray.